When we talk about leadership, one of the categories that I mentioned, one that I learned from Oswald Sanders, was that of sovereignty. I remember him telling the story of how he was actively involved in serving the Lord, and he was asked to take over a significant administrative responsibility, and he declined at least on one or two occasions. And he said it finally came to him that in spite of all of his thoughts, he realized that God was sovereignly raising him up as a leader in that area, somewhat in spite of himself. And as a result of that realization, he took over that leadership task. I would suggest to you that sovereignty is a very significant factor when we think about leadership. And I'd like to speak to you for just a moment about how I believe that to be true. When you look in the scriptures, it is clear that there is the element of human responsibility as it relates to the development of leaders. When I look at the Old Testament, and in particular the book of Proverbs, I realize that this is a book that was written to us generally, but even more specifically, as one of my professors in seminary used to say, it was written to little princes and princesses. This is the work, by and large, of a king who is preparing children for royalty. And that certainly has implications for every one of us as believers, for our king is preparing us for royal leadership. But there was, in that instruction, a very specific purpose of preparing people to serve as rulers by following the guidance and the instruction. So that was a conscious, purposeful way in which leaders were encouraged and developed in the book of Proverbs. When you come to the New Testament in passages like 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 2, you realize that Paul is also saying to men like Timothy that he is to find those who are gifted, and I think similarly gifted in the context, and that he is to use his gift and his experience, and he is to help younger men to develop in their same gift so that they may be effective in their ministry and effective, therefore, as leaders. So I believe that all of us are responsible, especially those in leadership positions, to look for people who have similar gifting, similar functions, and we are to help them develop and grow in that regard. That is our human responsibility. But having said that, we dare not overlook the sovereignty of God in the process. We may be thinking in our minds that certain people are sure to be destined to be leaders, and God may have other plans. God may raise up people to leadership that we would have never imagined would have done so. And I think you could see that even in the case of the Apostle Paul. Nobody was inclined to even believe he had been converted, let alone that he would become one of the great leaders in the church and in the Christian faith. But look at texts like this. Acts chapter 13 and verse 2, we read, "While they were ministering to the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, 'Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them.'" In the midst of that prayer meeting, it seems that God had somehow indicated through His Spirit that these two men were now being specified for a new ministry and a new leadership. I would point out to you in this same text that it is Barnabas who is named first, and it is Saul who is named last. It is also Saul rather than Paul as we know him. When you look in the context of that passage in Acts chapter 13, you see something very interesting. Here is Barnabas and Saul. They go on that first missionary journey, and you remember they encounter a false prophet, Bar-Jesus, and he hinders the proclamation of the gospel. And there is some sense in the Apostle Paul where he sees himself as the one who must address that sin, and he steps forward and pronounces the curse on that man. And from that point on, we are told it is Paul, not Saul, and his companions. Something happened in that moment. And I believe Paul did as he did, resting in the sovereignty of God. And I believe that God, in his sovereignty, elevated Paul to a position he would have never dreamed of, nor Barnabas. The beauty is that Barnabas was a magnificent man who embraced the work of God and who supported Paul in that new leadership role that God had sovereignly designated. Now think about David. I think about the selection of Israel's king. And we know that Saul was a man who stood head and shoulders above everybody else. In that sense, Saul was Israel's Goliath. He was their champion. When Goliath challenged the Israelites to send one man out to fight him, it obviously should have been Saul who did so. And it was Saul who was cowering in his tent and refused to do so. It was David who stepped forward. David, the man who, when the sons are called to gather before Samuel, the sons of Jesse, David is not even there, because it's never imagined that he would be the candidate to become the next king. He was not great in stature, but he was a man who had a heart for God, and God sovereignly raised him up. But the interesting thing about the way in which he did so is that he brings forth Goliath, who blasphemes the name of God, and David is so intent upon who God is and his sovereignty that he, in his proverbial weakness, stands before a giant because he believes he serves a big God. So what I see is the sovereignty of God in two dimensions. In the first dimension, it is God who sovereignly chose David when no one else would have. And the second thing is, it is David who stepped forward when no one else would, because he believed in a sovereign God who could make fast work of a man like Goliath. So here's what I think we should gain from this whole matter of the sovereignty of God. When we are seeking to develop leaders, we need to be purposeful about the process of doing so. We need to be active and aggressive in seeking those men who have potential and those men who are servants. And we need to seek to develop them as Paul has instructed us to do. But in the process, let us remember that it is ultimately God who sovereignly raises men up. And we sometimes will need to recognize that his choices and ours are not the same. So we need to go with God's choice. God sovereignly raises up leaders. And he raises up leaders who have confidence in his sovereignty.